Welcome to Lessons Within Prison Walls, a podcast dedicated to the transformative power of faith and redemption. In each episode, we'll bring you heartfelt Bible teachings and personal reflections from those who have found hope and purpose behind prison walls. These are stories of grace, resilience, and the incredible strength that can be found in the darkest of places. Join us as we explore the scriptures, share insights, and witness the profound impact of God's love and forgiveness. Thank you for being part of this journey, and may each story inspire and uplift your spirit.
Hello, everybody, and God bless you. Today, I'm going to be taking a break from the series that I've been doing on the doctrines of grace, and I will be taking a look into another subject. Today we will be in the Gospel according to John in the 19th chapter, we're just going to take a look at some subjects of the text. Here we see in this chapter Jesus is crucified, and he, bearing his cross, this is verse 17, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. I think it good that we take time to meditate upon the crucifixion of Christ and to truly understand what it is that he willingly undertook for us. Many of us, we hear of a crucifixion and we don't exactly understand the technicalities or the science behind what a crucifixion was. And we understand he was nailed to a cross and that he hung there. But to bring out some detail of it, of what exactly Christ did and what he went through, the way that a person would die by crucifixion was by asphyxiation. You would suffocate to death because as you hung on the cross, you would hang, your body would hang down, and it would put pressure on your diaphragm, which is an organ in your belly area that allows you to breathe, that pushes up on your lungs, allows you to exhale. So every time that you took a breath, you were forced to push yourself up. Now remember, you have nails in your wrists, and you are putting pressure on that. So it's metal against bone. It's excruciating. In fact, the word excruciating, the root word for that is crux, which is the Latin word for cross. And it was invented just to describe the pain suffered during a crucifixion. And what would happen is you would go through this process of lifting yourself up to breathe until eventually you ran out of, you became exhausted, so that you could no longer push yourself up, and you simply suffocated because you could no longer breathe. So what happened to our Lord was horrible. And remember that he did not deserve it. He lived a perfect and sinless life, and he took what we deserved. He committed himself to this willingly, and this is what he suffered on top of Calvary's hill. I'm going to point out another part of this text, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. So there's a crowd. There was perhaps a large crowd there at the crucifixion, there on Calvary. They included the Virgin Mary, his mom's sister, another Mary. These were related to the disciples, their mothers, and Mary Magdalene. And also the Apostle John was there at the cross. And in fact, I do not know where the women began to follow Christ at during his passion, but the Apostle John was with Christ from his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, through the trial and before the Sanhedrin, the interrogation before Annas, the interrogation before Pilate. The Apostle John stood with Christ the entire time. And I think to myself, what a love and what a devotion to his Lord. What a devotion to Jesus that even here at Calvary, he's still here. Mary Magdalene is here. His mother is here, watching him suffer. They don't understand what's happening. They don't understand that he's doing a wonderful work of salvation. They simply see that their rabbi, their son, their beloved brother is suffering and dying unjustly. For them, it must be a time of overwhelming grief. And also, they're not the only ones here. The Pharisees are there. They mocked Christ. So they're putting the Apostle John and these women are putting their reputation on the line. They're publicly identifying with Christ as he's suffering on the cross, even though they don't understand the magnitude of this. For them, this is just a time of grief, time of mourning, a time of helplessness when all they can do is watch. But still, they are here for Jesus. And that brings me to ask, do we stand with Christ as they did, as the Apostle John did? When Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, Paul had been heavily persecuting the church. And Christ said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" My brothers and sisters, when the world attacks the church, when it attacks the gospel, the morals and the ideals of the Christian faith, it isn't attacking us. There's nothing about us that it's targeting. It's attacking Christ. It's attacking Jesus. It is persecuting him. So when we enter into conversations and people, the lost, voice their ideas that are against our morals, that are against the commandments of Christ, how do we respond? Do we clam up? Do we just kind of mumble and go along to get along with the world as they persecute our Savior and our Lord? Too often I find myself doing this. I find myself bound by the spirit of fear, and I, in effect, do as the Apostle Peter did, and I deny my Lord. So I would call us to a greater boldness, to a greater courage, to stand up in the little times, to stand with Christ as he suffers from the world, just as the Apostle John and these women did. They stood with him at the ultimate point of his suffering and humiliation, there on Calvary's Hill. And in the times of our little conversations, in public, in private, wherever, or in the times of bigger things, we too should stand with Christ. We too should put our reputation on the line, our safety on the line, everything, to stand with our Savior and our Lord as he is persecuted. That was really about all that I had this week. I hope you got something from it. Next week, I may go back into the series on the doctrines of grace. I may not, but as I've been studying the Word, I've been hit with an overwhelming sense of my own inadequacy and my own failure to truly love Christ, to see Christianity not just as a concept, but as a person. And so as I'm enraptured by the Scripture, I've just felt moved to speak on these things, to encourage you all to truly love the Lord Jesus, to examine your hearts and see if Christ has truly grabbed your heart, if he truly stirs within you the emotion of love, as he did within his apostles, within these women. So that will be all for today. As I said, I hope you've gotten something out of it. I will say a quick prayer and leave you to the rest of your day. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would give us boldness and courage to stand with you in the times of persecution. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in our hearts a wonderful and beautiful love for our Savior. Attract us to the Savior. Build in us a heart of supreme devotion to Christ. We love you, and we praise your holy name. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done on Calvary, that you have suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, to achieve our forgiveness and our atonement. And it is in your name, that most holy and glorious name, that we pray. Amen. Well, I will see you next Monday. Have a good week, and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to Lessons Within Prison Walls. We hope the message of faith and stories of redemption have touched your heart and inspired your spirit. Remember, even in the darkest places, God's light shines bright, guiding us towards hope and transformation. Join us next time for more powerful Bible lessons and testimonies. Until then, may you carry the strength of faith with you and find peace in every step of your journey.